So with that said, let me go ahead and just read the text again that Jared has preached the last 2 weeks. And let me actually go ahead and start in verse 25, and hopefully the Lord will help jog our memory here a little bit. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Again, chapter 4, verse 25. For we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And then the text that the verse that he covered, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So Jared, I mean, you preached these two messages, and I mean, at the end of the day, what were you trying to accomplish? So we've been talking about this really for a year, I would say, going back a long time. Our body, our church family, we know parents and families are interacting with these things all the time. And so what was your kind of high level, if you said, hey, this was my goal, what would you say?
Yeah, for those two messages, you mean, like what was I hoping the takeaway would be? Which I think, again, thanks for giving me that opportunity. Because, yeah, even looking back and reflecting on the two messages and hearing some responses and so forth. So I think I knew going in, number one, that it wasn't going to be the end-all be-all. Not only from the standpoint of social media, there's no way you could address everything that pertains to social media in two messages. Secondly, even when it came to biblical communication, there's no way you're going to address every aspect of biblical communication in two messages. I knew, in a sense, that on the other side of it, there might be more questions than answers. I have questions, actually, now about, what does this actually mean for communication and even social media, that I'm not even sure what the answer is yet. I guess I knew that if at the end of those two, maybe it simply meant we're all maybe taking a little bit of a break, not a break, but stepping back for a minute and saying, okay, how do if we're kind of in a frozen position right now, we talked this week, that's not necessarily a bad thing. That maybe all of us, if we've been engaging in social media a lot, that maybe we just back off and say, okay, what does this mean? This is a very powerful thing. If it accomplished that, even just that, I would be, I would say happy, but I would be glad that that was at least a result of it. But I did want to at least try to address it from a biblical perspective, in the most helpful way in a two-week segment. I wanted to have a text that could address it, and so that's why I picked Ephesians 4:29, because it did speak a lot about our words. And so, of course, that I was just drawn to that. So with those two messages, though, as we got into social media, I just wanted to emphasize the importance of our words. And again, if that's something that we just came away with, like, wow, being reminded of the power of our words as image bearers, that would be a good thing. But then I wanted us to see that social media is an extension of our words, that is communication, that is speech. And then, of course, the Bible does say a lot about speech. And so just even coming out of the message, if those things are on our mind and it has influenced our social media interactions or our communication at all, then I would be happy with that if that was accomplished. Because I knew there's no way we were going to hit everything. I knew we were going to have these 10 weeks to kind of hopefully tie up loose ends and get into the, okay, well, what does this mean? And then what does this look like? And if that's true, then this, that, and the other, even though we're probably not going to even address it all here. But I do want to say one quick thing about Ephesians 4:29, even after last Sunday's message and reflecting and just kind of hearing. I think it's important to say that even Ephesians 4:29 has a particular focus, Mike, on in our communication. You know, I mean, I was thinking this week about just so much stuff that happens on social media and how it's very similar to conversations and communication that we just have in everyday life that really I don't think Ephesians 4:29 has anything to do with. Maybe nothing to do with is a strong term, but really is not the direct target of Ephesians 4:29. When you're sitting down in a group and saying, hey, you know, how'd your day go? Or did you see that bad accident on the highway today? Actually, is Wendy Cornell here? Anyway, don't mean to call. Oh, there's Bo. She posted something yesterday that was very helpful and practical for us. I don't know if you saw, there was a horrible accident on 77 North. I was actually going that way. So I actually, that helped me save time. But those are things that is your...
You were on Facebook while you were driving, right?
No, I was not. Actually, it was before Melissa told me about that. But just again, think about you're sitting around and... Now again, Jesus said we're going to give an account of every idle word. So there's a sense in which there's no throwaway words, that there's no words that don't matter. Don't get me wrong there. But there's a sense in which the Ephesians 4:29 has a very specific context, which is in Ephesians 4, talking about the body building each other up in love and speaking the truth in love so that we do become more mature believers in Christ. And so when you come down to Ephesians 4:29, after early on in Ephesians 4, Paul talks about the body and how we all mutually edify each other and with our words speak. He now says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up as is necessary, so that it will administer grace to the hearers. Well, that's in that context of when I have it in my mind that this is to instruct somebody on how to live. Or this is, and again, so much of what we do post on social media does fall under that. Even if you're not trying to instruct someone biblically, like specifically, like this verse means this, when you're posting on politics, when you're posting on all sorts of things, I think you'd have to be honest and say, I am trying to instruct them on how to live, right? How to think. Yeah. They need to think this way. And so you may not be bringing a biblical text, but I still would qualify that under building up. Because if you sat back and asked yourself, I think you would say, yeah, I'm trying to improve their thinking. I'm trying to add a building block to their edifice of how they think and live. So those things do qualify. But again, I just wanted to clarify, because you might be coming away, you know, even the last two messages and say, well, I can't say anything unless I am absolutely certain that this is going to spiritually make them more mature. Well, how much conversation in our daily life that it's just hopefully purposeful, getting to know you and just taking interest in you. Hey, how was your day? And did you see this? Did you see that? Or this is what happened in my day. Those things can be helpful. Although, again, we have to be careful that we're not so... no one wants to be around someone that just talks about themselves all the time, right? That's so self-centered and narcissistic that you think everyone cares about every detail of you wouldn't do that in a normal setting, hopefully. But my point is that Ephesians 4:29 has a very particular focus, but hopefully applies to social media. But also if you're sitting here right now, I don't even know what to say right now on social media or in general. I'm not apologizing for that, because I think sometimes we need, it's probably good to just reset. Because again, our words are powerful. Hopefully you were convinced words really matter. I need to be careful. I need to put thought in this. And if you're still working all that out, I am too, as far as how's it apply to social media. That's my meandering.
That's good meandering. No, I mean, even in our flock that we had this week, a couple of people, I don't know, is that going to be okay to post on social media? I mean, you start hearing that, which I think that's a good thing. Do you guys think that's a good thing, actually? Like, when people actually start saying, well, wait a second, is that okay to post on social media? Like, that's not a bad thing.
No, if that's all you came away with, and you heard, that's, in a sense, mission accomplished, in one sense, because, again, that's what has been wrong with so much of social media, is just simply not giving a whole set of rules for social media, or no rules for social media when I have rules over here.
I think even those particulars, and I won't bring up what they were, but there was a couple particulars that someone brought. Well, this is good to post on social media, right? Like, those are the things that we'd love for you guys to email us, because we can talk through those.
No, that'd be a great,
I think at the very least, like, how many of us have went through this thing and you just do it out of reaction, the culture's doing it? I mean, remember when the iPhone came out? Like, I remember it was like a cool thing for me and my friends to drive to Best Buy when the newest technology came out. Like, we didn't think about the technology. We didn't think about what it was going to do to us, how it was going to make us addicted to it, or anything like that. You just do it. And so at the very least, I was thinking, you know, hopefully this has just made us think about our thinking, right? I mean that's a big thing. And I've heard John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul talk, like, we don't think about our thinking sometimes, like, why we do what we do. And so, at the very least, I hope those messages were just helpful to, like, kind of just make us freeze a little bit and say, why am I doing what I'm doing? And so let's go ahead and get back into the message a little bit. And I said in the first message, if you guys can think all the way back to that, I know how this goes, like you preach on Sunday and people forget by Wednesday what you said, but hopefully not with this. But in the first message, you laid out five areas of communication. And I actually heard some of you guys bringing up another area. And I think it fit under his one area, which was method. But you brought up the role of audience. I think I had a couple conversations with a few of you guys, like how important. So in your eyes, Jared, what role does the audience that you're speaking to determine whether or not the words you're communicating are useful? Because you kept pressing at the point that like the words that we say are called to build people up, which obviously building up doesn't necessarily mean that what we're saying they like to hear. You know what I'm saying? So what role does the audience, first of all, play in that?
Yeah, a lot. And I'm even more convinced of this now after the second message because, quite honestly, Mike, going into the second message, I didn't know for sure what administer grace to the hearers even meant. I kind of had the luxury of preaching the first message and focusing on the first part of the verse and the second part of the verse. I was like, well, I kind of have an idea, but I have next week to address that. But coming out of this second message, when Paul talks about administering grace to the hearers and what that really means, when he talks about as is necessary or as is fitting for the occasion, as the New American Standard says, when it comes, again, there's places for general communication from the pulpit in our preaching, or even if evangelistic messages, or, I talked about how there are all sorts of places where it's legitimate that we just give general messages for the general building up of people. That's a role of a teacher, a coach, a boss, whatever, preaching, teaching. But when we're talking about this kind of stuff, when I get it in my mind that somebody needs to hear this for their building up, the takeaway from Paul is that it's got to fit the need. And if I'm going to speak something that fits the need, then I got to know what the need is. And how can I know what the need is if I don't have some sort of analysis of the audience and who this person is and what they're going through and where they're coming from and all this kind of and these kinds of things? And I also want to be clear too that it's not, you know, there are times in our lives when we're reactive and we just got to speak right there too. Like two days ago, Melissa was in a situation with someone, not someone from the church, a friend from years ago, going through something difficult in their life, and they said something that clearly indicated that they were not thinking biblically, and I was encouraged by Melissa's response. She's not in here. I can say I was thankful for how she responded. She responded, well, what is the Bible? Are you thinking about what the Bible even says about this? She didn't need to pray about that. She didn't need to think about that. She didn't need to, obviously you need to, you know, have graciousness in how you're speaking and stuff, but she didn't need to like say, hey, I'm going to get back to you on that. Let me think through what I need to. She knew what she needed to say. She just said it. Yeah. So I also want to be clear on that too, but I'm talking about this idea here where we're proactively, we think that someone, we observe something and we think they need to hear something. That demands that you, to obey Ephesians 4:29, to ensure that it meets the need of the moment. Audience is everything.
Yeah.
But it's not, good.
Well, here's the hard thing, right? So we're sitting, like, that's fine when you're talking to another believer, right? And you're one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's almost like that's airtight,
yeah.
Right? So then, but then I was thinking, so you have Ephesians 4:29, which is directed at the church, right? It's directed at believers.
Yeah.
Then you have Colossians 4, okay, which says, I mean, you don't have to turn there, but it says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Verse 4, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And so that's the hard thing, right, when it comes to social media or any online forum is, in here we can talk face-to-face or on the phone, you can pick up the phone and you're talking to an individual or even in a classroom when you're face-to-face, you're talking to a particular group of people at a particular time. I thought it was actually funny a little bit last week when I think in your message, Jared said something like, whether or not you have like 100 Facebook friends or 50, and I'm like, Are you kidding me? I guarantee you there's some sitting here that have like 500 Facebook friends. And so I was trying to think through this. How do we discern whether or not the words that we're using are useful and purposeful when you think of the audience in the social media world? You have non-believers and you have believers. You have people in your church. You have people outside of church. So what's your response to that?
Well, my first response would be is that what you even just said is very important, that the same concept that Paul does apply to Christians, he applies to those who are outside. Same word, grace. So you know how to answer every man. Being wise. So we can't use the logic, well, in the church, I have to be very careful because we're building each other up and we're believers, so they can be built up. Where with non-Christians, I just throw it out, say it, and spray it and hope that it sticks. No, Paul said, what he's even pray for me so I know how I should speak. Well, wait a minute, Paul, don't you just preach the gospel to non-Christians? Well, even looking how Paul preached the gospel was different. I mean, you go to Acts 13 where he was in the synagogue. He preached the gospel to the Jews entirely different than in Acts 17 where he says, I perceive that you are very superstitious. Paul said, I notice this. So therefore, let me tell you about the God who made the heavens and the earth. He totally started a different starting point, going all the way back to Genesis and talking about how the nations lived in darkness and how God still was a good God and provided them rain and food and governed their nations, and yet now he's commanding you to repent and believe. We're Jews. He started in a totally different spot with the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt and their disobedience, basically the same message that Stephen preached in Acts 7. So that was a very important point to make, is that, you know, sometimes we think with the gospel, I think sometimes we just say, well, it's the gospel. We just preach the gospel to them. Well, what does that mean? We know what the gospel is. We know they need to understand that they are sinners before a holy God and they need to repent and believe in Jesus. And we know where we need to get them and what they, but even the starting point, the way, I wonder if the way we even evangelize on social media is a little bit too general to where almost it's not hitting the target, you know. And so, yeah, so interjecting a scripture out there, yeah, praise the Lord that we can just get the scriptures out in front of people in a way. But back to the second part of your question is, if that's the goal, it was the second part, how do we know, or how do we assess the audience to know
discern what we're putting to an audience of 200, 300, 400, 500 believers, non-believers, you know.
Yeah. How about even just walking down through what Paul did here? What did he start? What's the first thing he said, Mike? What did he ask them to do? The Colossians to do for him.
The Colossians. Well, first he said to pray.
Pray for me. So how much, again, these are really big issues that some of you are trying to convince other people to believe. Well, the gospel, number one, is a huge thing if you're trying to evangelize online, but how about praying about what you're posting, or even just your interactions with people? Again, we're talking about these situations where you have it in your mind that someone needs to hear something. A proactive, thoughtful thing. Hopefully you're praying about that. Again, we're not talking about, hey, someone says something wrong at work. When someone says something wrong that's blatantly wrong about something that's unbiblical, hopefully you would speak into that right away. They said it, so you have something to say, right? There's nothing wrong with just responding in a way. But again, we're talking about these proactive.
Well, then, I mean, I was just looking as you walk through this.
He says,
pray.
Right.
Then he says, pray what? That it may be clear.
Mm.
Like, how many times have we posted something?
Yeah.
And then someone fires back, and then you're like, that's not even what I meant. Like, but that's not how they took it. So their perception of what you said was their reality, and they took it that way, right?
Yeah.
And so you first pray, but then you pray that, Lord, that what I'm trying to communicate is clear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Paul says
here. And I think sometimes when it starts to get side-railed, so many times the mistake is that you need to shut that down and take that offline. Because now it's getting ugly, and you have believers out in front of, or a believer and a non-believer out there arguing in front of the world, and that's not healthy, but...
Yeah. You know, there was another thing that I've talked through with some people about, not just what you say, but then you can post this, two people can post the same, let's say, article. And I think based on how you frame something, it can then be heard in different ways. And I wasn't going to do this, but I was going to pull, how many of you guys in here have been in sales in your life? Like in some capacity? Okay, a number. So I'm going to pull John because I know you can be on the spot. Like, so you deal with different clients, right? You deal with married couples. You deal with women only, men only. So is it not important how you frame what you're going to pitch to them as in your product? Like, what does that look like based on who you're meeting with? Do you guys talk about that as businessmen?
Talk product, in my case would be a house. We're just getting to know them, what their needs are, how they live, how they, we even ask them how they entertain before we can even jump into the product.
Well, I'm assuming all of that then changes how you interact with this person to essentially win them to purchase your product.
Good point. Yeah, if there's a question from the audience, I guess just repeat it before we answer it. But, or no, repeat his... His answer.
So you his want answer me to your repeat question. His answer.
Yeah.
Is that what he's saying, guys?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, John's saying essentially that they get together, their first meeting that they have with those that they're pitching their product to isn't even about the product. Now, obviously, the reason these people are meeting with John is because of they've seen the product somewhere, which is houses for him, but their first meeting together is simply just sitting down with them, hearing about what they love, how they entertain, what their family makeup is. And so then I responded and said, in the future, every meeting after that, I'm assuming that meeting then drives how they act and interact with this person. Well, there's a sense where the same thing is true, I think, as we just interact with people in general, right? If you know there's like a touchy issue in your family, you usually probably either one, steer clear of it a little bit, or you come at it in a tactful way. And so I was thinking about just how we frame articles. I posted an article on Faith Bible Church's Facebook page. It's been a couple months ago. And essentially the essence of what it was trying to communicate is how does an older generation and a younger generation with some differing political views, how do they interact and react to one another that is beneficial as Christians? And so we're not going to get into all that right now, but I heard from many people that was beneficial to them. But the way I pitched it, I said, hey, this was helpful in my thinking. Maybe you would consider this. So when you do that, that doesn't immediately back people into a corner saying, hey, this article, I'm like full go, 100% on board with this thing. And if you disagree with it, well, you disagree with me, and then we don't like each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And what happens a lot of times is we throw articles or pieces out there, and I think it immediately backs people in a corner. Either I have to agree with this or I have to disagree with this, and then if I agree with it, then all these people are my buddies, and if I disagree with this, then everyone hates me, and then I got to show up at church on Sunday, and we got to actually worship together. And so the essence of how we frame articles and pieces, we have to pray through. Would you agree with that?
And the way you even phrase that follows Paul's principle here, because in doing that, you're not presuming that everyone needs to hear that right now. Mm-hmm. You're throwing it out there. Hey, if this is helpful to you, or this was helpful to me, maybe this might be helpful to you. And that's exactly, like, so that might be a way that, so because it is really hard in social media of my 50 to 500 followers or friends, how do I know what each one needs at that time? I can't assess that. So, but if something was helpful and important to you, framing it that way can accomplish getting it to the people that will benefit from it. And the people who just skip over it, they don't feel like you're, if you see them and you didn't read this, then you're an unspiritual person. And I think that's a helpful way to approach it. And we talked about this week, how you frame, and it even affects how I have started to frame stuff, yeah.
I mean, how many things have you either done ourselves or come across where it's like, watch this will change your life. And then you're like, well, if I don't watch it, I'm like, I'm not in on this thing that's going to change my life. And then you watch it and then you disagree with it. And so then you're like, wait a second, I don't agree. You know, so it's really, we got to be careful with that, right? I mean, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ and the kingdom.
Yeah.
So you made the statement in that message again, I think the world is a better place with fewer words. You followed up by stating how much of what we say, what I say, is better left just simply unsaid. And then you brought up Proverbs 10:19. When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. And then you gave this scenario, if you guys remember, and this funny thing about how, like, he was going to post something, he wasn't going to post something, he wasn't going to post something, and then at the end of the day, he sent it off to a couple friends and didn't post it, and you're like, wow, we're still here.
Yeah,
actually, believe
I survived.
Or not, we're still here. But that's how we, it's just hard, that's how we're, life's so fast now, it seems like.
Yeah.
But
I don't think we need to belabor that point. I think, again, it is a true, you know, Proverbs is a, you know, that's a principle that is generally true in the culture we live in, and social media has exacerbated this, that we think somebody needs to be commenting on something all the time, and we kind of have faced, or social media has just, we're, you know, 2 decades into Facebook being here, and I think I would say, yeah, it is time for a reset on the whole, you know, just society on a whole, that, okay, what are we doing here? Because I think it has shown that the multitude of these words, I have to be, you know, I don't know, I have to wonder, has more bad than good occurred at this point in the game? I'm not saying that we need to get rid of social media or cancel our Facebook, but up to this point in the game, has really the multitude of words been less helpful than more helpful? And I tend to lean on that side of the ledger right now, that really it's actually been, if I had to go back in time and make it go away or keep it, if it's going to keep going the way it is, I'm not so sure it's been helpful. You know, I think Proverbs does apply to it, but my point is, let's, as Christians, let's redeem this, because it's not going to go away, and engage it in a way that's biblical. So
I want to get on into two quick things before we just open it up. So I hope you guys are thinking, I mean, I know you guys are thinking encouraging things, or things maybe your thinking has been challenged or encouraged in certain ways that we're not saying, so we're gonna do that. But there's two things I want to. One is, I actually heard from Pastor Kinlow. Some of you guys know him from Word of God Community Church. We have some relationship with them. We're actually really excited. 5 of their guys are going to head out to Shepherd's Conference, Lord willing, in March with us. So we're going to head out there together and just hopefully foster some of that relationship for the gospel. But he actually said in a message this week, it wasn't a preaching message, but it was just a general teaching like this, and he asked his people, he actually challenged them to go home, when you think of the words you say, the things you post, the timing that's had, go home and actually read through your thread. Like, just read through the last, like, 2 years of your thread. Now, some of us, we could do that in 2 minutes. Some of us, it would take us 2 years to get through it. But read through your thread, and then he asked the question, he said, based on what you said or didn't say on your social media platforms, what opportunities may you not have anymore for the gospel with particular people? And like, that was totally convicting to me, because are there things that we're putting on our threads or on our timelines or in our tweets that if we saw that person face to face and had a cup of coffee or an opportunity for that, is there a sense where we've limited ourselves for gospel opportunities based on wedges that we've put that are non-gospel situated, like non-gospel things? I mean, there's gospel things that people are going to disagree with, right? And we like run to the hills and we shout those things from the hilltops in a way that we frame them correctly. But there's non-gospel essential things that we've put out there too, that now we've limited ourselves for gospel opportunities. Do you guys know what I'm saying by that? And like, that was really convicting for me. And so I hope it just challenges you guys to think through, am I actually limiting opportunities with said person because of what I put out there? Like, is this really that important for me to like drive this stake in the sand when it's a stake that's not worthy to drive?
Yeah.
And so that was just beneficial for me.
Yeah, no, or even like looking back over the whole course of your posting, or your, like, and this would even be true of your personal interactions with neighbors, friends. Do they even know that you're a Christian? You know, or but they know that you're really big on this political issue or this economic issue or this whatever issue. They know you're all about that, but is your faith in there anywhere? Probably be a good, you know, I mean, do they even know that you're, you know, so that if you were to meet them and talk about that, that'd be out of the blue. You know, that's probably another helpful way to look at it, but that's challenging.
Mean, when you've said this the last couple of weeks, like, just it takes so much intentionality, thoughtfulness, prayer, wisdom on some of the things we post, because there's just bombs that are put out there, and we know that. And so those bombs that we put out there, we even that much more have to pray through those things and think through those things.
And it may be we don't post it then. You know, that's where proper comes, and that's where I think we have to be okay with. It can be so damaging. The potential to be so is, if I'm not sure, then why post it? And that's probably maybe where a lot of times we need to be. But
well, if it's okay, I wanted to kind of open it up.
Oh, yeah.
We have about 8 or 9 minutes left, I think.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from some of you guys. And this time is meant for our own how our own thinking or our own ways maybe we're challenged or encouraged. It's not a time for open Q&A, and I'm just going to put it up there or out there. We want to hear, based on the last two messages, based on the last 2 weeks, like, what are some ways that you guys have been challenged or encouraged, or just makes you think a little bit?
Yeah, which will help us going forward on how to direct stuff. But
yeah, so anyone want to open us up a little bit? And I'll repeat or try and repeat. Yeah, if Jared wants to walk back there and, go ahead and grab it. But does anyone have anything that just... We just want to hear from you guys, young people, you know, over here, middle-aged, experienced people, all in between. What are you guys thinking right now with just our words, our speech, our interaction? Yeah, go ahead, Cindy. Speak as loud as you can. They're coming to hear a message, or if they come to a conference or whatever that may be, they're coming to hear a message versus when you post something, you're just throwing something out at someone. I mean, it's totally different or opposite of the first, right?
How do we listen to people on social media and then respond versus how when people come to us, they are already expecting something from us.
That's a great point.
Trying to figure that out.
And that's analogous to even when someone comes to you for counsel. Hey, like even the situation with Melissa yesterday, like they were coming to her, and they were just putting it out there, and they were asking for it, so she didn't have to. I mean, obviously you need to be careful. We want to make sure you're accurate and right and all those things and loving and how you say it, but you can be... You don't have to be as careful to make sure that it fits the occasion. You know it fits the occasion. When you come and hear sermon, it fits the occasion. You're coming to hear preaching, and that's a great point. Yeah.
Well, but versus the alternative, whenever you put something out there, you're kind of saying, like, I don't care whether or not you want to hear this, but I'm about to tell you what I think you should hear. And so we just have to be careful with that, right? Because there is a major difference there. Mm-hmm. It's so important for us to just listen, right? I mean, how often do you... So much of what we do is we run to speaking too quickly, and I do it myself, instead of listening and just hearing what people really have to say, what their heartbeat is. Mm-hmm. So, thanks, Cindy.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Yeah, Mike, over here.
We can read a lot of trash on Facebook, and there's some good things on there too. But I think it would be a good thing to adopt that it's just 1 or 2 minutes of prayer before you even open up Facebook. I think that's very lacking.
But the problem is, Mike, my phone's like dinging all day long with notifications, so I'd have to
turn notification off.
Yeah,
I could have summed up my whole first sermon. Yeah. Turn notifications off. He just cut right to. It took me 45 minutes to say it.
Yeah, it took you 45 minutes. It took him like four words.
Yeah, but that even gets to what we're. The flip side that we do hope to get to is how do I process what I'm seeing? And that's a whole, we do want to talk about how do I process what I'm seeing, not just the outgoing, but the ingoing. And that's over, and time is a part of that. But even just preparing my heart is so key, whether I'm pushing out or listening.
Amen.
I mean, that's a good yep. point. Thanks.
Amen. Okay. So one thing I've noticed with social media is that...
But before you get into that, just let you guys know that he has like one of the coolest names and not everyone knows
it is
him.
The coolest name.
So this is Zane. Okay, so I just want to make his face known.
Named after Zane Grey, the author.
Named after.
Named after.
So
go ahead, sorry, Zane.
In the real world, we remember sermons, we remember what people say. And sometimes, you know, afterwards you get a myriad of responses. You don't always remember them. But what you say first is what's remembered. Whereas I've noticed in social media, I don't remember what somebody posts, or I don't even remember what I post, but I remember the responses. Mm. So you can listen to what people say, and rather than throwing things out there, you can use social media to monitor what somebody's thinking and then administer a response that's more detailed and more less like throwing a net out in the water, and rather, you know, grabbing onto something and giving them advice or steering them, rather than, you know, hoping that your message sticks. Mm. It's more like picking up somebody and giving them the message, rather, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that's good, Zane. I appreciate that. And it goes back again to what, you know, just the importance of listening. I was even thinking, how many times has things been posted? And then the battle ensues, right? And sad to say, we like to see the battle. And then we all like to talk about the battle, and then we forget what the battle's even over. Mm-hmm. Like, what was even the original post of this thing? But there's just like this war going on. And sad to say, because we're sinners too, right? We live in a state of sin, and we like to see the war. And as Christians, we need to step back and like prayerfully, whoa, what is going on here? Yeah, John over here, go ahead. We got about three or four more minutes. John Meisner, I think.
Which John Meisner?
Yeah, well, John Jr.
You know, one thing I was thinking about this past week is we're talking about what we should say and not say on social media. I think on the flip side, it's just as important as what we entertain ourselves reading about on social media. You may be one that doesn't say anything much at all, but you find yourself engrossed in just reading what everyone else has to say. And there's been situations where I've even been bothered by somebody over and over again, and the question begs to be asked, well, okay, they may be wrong for posting it, but at what point am I wrong for continuing to go back to something that's bothering my own spirit? And then I'm actually developing an attitude towards somebody, and they may not, you know, I don't know their intent necessarily, right? So there's two sides of this coin. I mean, for some of us, it might be, okay, I need to assess what I'm putting on Facebook, but we also need to assess what we're reading on Facebook.
Yep.
And you might want to minimize how many quote-unquote friends you have. You can unfollow someone without unbefriending them. So a lot of people don't know that. So, I mean, I've had to just reduce the amount of stuff that I see because it's bothering my spirit. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah, because your options then are twofold at that point. I need to either go to them off and clarify that, and that might actually turn out for good because you actually have real communication. You realize, oh, they didn't mean that. And then you can, just simply not going back just might be practical wisdom for now. Like, why? If it's not edifying me and I don't know what their intent is, then why keep going back? Let's
one more quick one. And then, no, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Jump in there.
You have a question. Do you have a question?
I promise this is quick. The Lord Jesus, in many, many, I think many, many situations is recorded in Scripture where he was involved in a conversation and he answered not a word. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something there for all of us, right?
Yep.
It's not like what John said. It's not maybe convenient or maybe not even proper or edifying to always answer with words on Facebook or any type of social media.
Or in person.
Go ahead. No. I mean, it's good to think through. I pray that our hearts, even this morning, as we get ready to worship the King, right, are ready. And so I'm going to just pray that now. I mean, we've had all kinds of interactions this week, face-to-face, over the phone, texting, tweeting, all these things. Let's pray our hearts are ready. And so let's wrap up. Lord, we thank you that we can even think through these things from your perspective. The Word of God gives us that. Lord, you gave us eyes to see and ears to hear, and may we do that. Lord, give us a pure eyes right now, a pure heart as we prepare our hearts to worship you, our King, as one body, as one voice this morning. And as we interact, even as our 15 minutes, we interact with one another, may our words be encouraging, edifying to one another. We love you so much. In Christ's name, amen.